Please be seated. While in worship great this morning. This is just an incredible summer we're having at church. A lot of times in church work, you talk about a summer slump. Guys, we're just not having it. God's doing great things. We're not even through. Think about Camp Refuge that starts next Sunday. Think about all the other things you just saw announced. I cannot wait until we hit fall, when traveling slows down and school starts back, because there's so many great things about small groups meeting. We've got some big dreams and visions that we want to share with the church about what God's calling us as a church to do that you're going to be really excited about. And so what we're trying to do this summer is prepare for that by letting Jesus take a look at our church. Well, how do you do that? We're studying what's called the seven churches in Revelation, which represents all churches for all time. And so as we look through this, Jesus gives his church a test, actually. And every church comes out with some kind of report. Now, why is Jesus doing this? Because the church is his chosen instrument to change the world. The church is called the body of Christ. If Jesus is to live in this city, in this community, it's through his church. And so we all know how Jesus dreams about his church, but we also know the disappointment when the church does not live up to his standard. It reminds me of this football team. Let me show this this picture up here, and you can probably read on the left side is IMG. If you know anything about high school football, you know IMG Academy is like a mass producer of great players. It's a prep school. Great players go off there to learn almost all Division I. And so ESPN a few years ago wanted to highlight some of the best high school football in the country as a kickoff. And so, of course, they invite IMG Academy. They also invite a school from Ohio called Bishop Sycamore. Bishop Sycamore actually called themselves the IMG Academy of the Midwest. They had an incredible reputation of producing Division I players. But it wasn't long in the game. I mean, you see the score is 37-0. That's the beginning of the second quarter. That people recognize, and the announcers even recognize, there's something wrong here. They could not find any of the Bishop Sycamore players on any recruiting list. They couldn't find any information. And finally, it's obvious it's a mismatch. In fact, the announcers go so far as to say is somebody may get hurt because of this. Tried to call the game out, but they wouldn't. And so after the game, they finally do some research. And Bishop Sycamore is really not a school. It was a place in Ohio that advertised, if you want to come play with us, you can practice in Ohio State facilities. Well, the kids actually lived in a rundown hotel, didn't really know where their next meal would come from, and practiced in the parking lot. Some of the kids were 20, 22 years old. And so they found out that basically it was a hoax. But for 5 years, somehow they had built this reputation as a good enough program to highlight the high school kickoff. After this was exposed, Canton, Ohio police investigated it for fraud because it wasn't what it purported to be. And that's what Jesus does not want for his church. In fact, we're studying a church today that reminds me of Bishop Sycamore. It looked good, had a great reputation, but behind that, there was nothing. In fact, here's the devastating description we're going to see of this church this morning. You have a reputation for being alive, but you're dead. Whew. That's not how you want your church to be described. And there was a two-word command, wake up. Bible says that a lot. Sometimes we struggle staying awake, don't we? Let's just be a little confessional as we begin. Let's have a little fun as we begin. How many of you have ever fallen asleep in church? Raise your hand. Okay, be honest. Some of you are raising two hands and a foot. Yes, because it's so easy to do, isn't it? Yeah, I love that story in Acts chapter 20 where Jesus, where Paul is teaching, and there was a kid named Eutychus. They're on the second floor, and Eutychus is sitting in the window. I don't like the way they describe Paul's sermon. They said that Paul talked on and on and on. You've never said that about a preacher, have you? Please not. On and on. And so Eutychus falls asleep, falls out of the window, and dies. Not a lot of good things happen when you fall asleep in church. What? One of my favorite stories was growing up. Grew up in the Capitol Heights Church of Christ down on Madison Avenue. And youth group sat over here just like y'all. Wasn't this big, but we sat over in the front. And it was one of those older churches where you didn't have a lot of responses, okay? And so one Sunday, our older preacher, D. Ellis Walker, who was quite a character, offered the invitation. And we were all shocked because someone came forward. It was a really older man named Joe Owens. And so Brother Walker shakes his hand. He sits down. Then we didn't have response cards. So Brother Walker just gets behind the communion table and says, Brother Joe Owen has come forward this morning, confessing his sins and making his life right with God. And I could see Brother Owens on the front row. And as Brother Walker's talking, Brother Owens is going, no, no. And he got big fat jaws. He starts going, no, 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 no. And so Brother Walker's keeping on confessing sins. And finally it gets disturbing. So he says, Joe, what do you want? He said, I walk forward to lead the closing prayer. You see, he had fallen asleep during the message. Can you believe that? When the invitation song started, his wife poked him. He thought it was time to pray, and so he came to the front, and Brother Walker's confessing all his sins. And if I'd been Joe Owens, I'd have gone ahead and just admitted to something, right? It was crazy. You guys, things happen like that when you fall asleep. And that's why this passage is can challenge us to wake up. So out of reverence for God's word and to make sure you're awake, will you stand for a reading from God's word? All right. Revelation chapter 3 is quite a passage. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Seven spirits, seven recognized fullness. Jesus has the fullness of all the gifts of the Spirit for his church. And Jesus has authority over the church, which is the seven stars. Now, here we go. I know your deed. He's investigated. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Here's our command. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you've received and heard. Hold it fast. And here's the word shows up every week, doesn't it? And repent. But, I always hate that but there, right? If you do not wake up, I'll come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I'll come to you. Yet, this is some good news. You have a few people in Sardis who've not soiled their clothes. They walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. Oh, what does white symbolize? It symbolizes purity. In the first century, when someone was baptized, when they came out of the baptistry, they would clothe them in white and give them milk to drink. White to say, you're clean. Milk, you're a baby. So there's some people still wearing that white. And then he says, the one who is victorious will like them be dressed in white. I will never blot out their name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. And then he says this every time, guys. Maybe we ought to listen. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to churches. You may be seated. So what do we have here? We have this incredible wake-up call. And we said a moment ago, bad things happen when you fall asleep in church. But here's what I'd like to say this morning. Worse things happen when the church falls asleep. In fact, I would call this church, it's a sleepwalking church. Now, the survey probably knows me. How many of you have ever sleptwalked? Okay, yeah, go good, okay. Let me tell you one of my most embarrassing stories. When I lived here years ago, My roommate was Tim Lee, and we had an apartment. And one night, I'd gone to bed, and Tim was up in the living room with some friends. So I went to bed, got to sleep. Then all of a sudden, a couple hours later, I walk in the living room, and Tim said, "Buddy, what are you doing?" I said, "Where are the teenagers?" I was a youth minister. He said, "Buddy, they're not here." I said, "Yes, they are. They're all over the walls. Can't you see them?" I think I'd done too much youth ministry, all right? And so Tim lovingly took me back to my bed. The bad thing about it is I was in my underwear, which it could have been worse, all right? Sleepwalking's dangerous. And we got a church here that's sleepwalking. In fact, we might call it like we called that academy. It's a hoax. They have a reputation for one thing, but there's a reality that's different. They have a reputation of being a fired up, alive church, and yet they're dead. They've been exposed. You ever seen someone or some organization that's exposed? It's a really sad day for many golf fans. Back in 2009, we're probably the greatest golfer of all times, Tiger Woods, had a terrible fall. Do I remember when he crashed his SUV? And then all of a sudden, you know, drug abuse, marital infidelity, all kinds of things were exposed in his life, sort of fell apart. The reputation of this wholesome family man wasn't really the reality. We've all known churches like that. I can remember one of my favorite preachers years ago, and we used to bring him to an event I used to run called Youth in Action, and I just loved him. He was incredible, funny, just great speaker. And years later, I got invited to his church. And I always loved hearing him preach, and I loved hearing him talk about his church. So I'm thinking, man, this is going to be unbelievable. Well, I walk in this church building, and I'm telling you, first of all, the church building's in disrepair. There's very few people there, and this is not at all what I expected. Because he was such a dynamic speaker, the church had an incredible reputation, but reality was quite different, and that's what's happening with this church. Probably the greatest example of that in Scripture are the Pharisees. Now we say the word Pharisee, we immediately think negative. But when Jesus walked this earth, they had a great reputation. There was only about 6,000 Pharisees in the whole country, and they were known as the super Christians, the super faithful to God. And man, everybody thought they're awesome. But Jesus exposes them. Listen to this passage, Matthew 23. "Woe to you, teachers of law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to be people as righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Here's a group of people that was asking the wrong question. They were asking, what do people say about us? They needed to be asking, what does God say about us? And let's be honest, for a great church, you see, the difference in Sardis and Bishop Sycamore is the church of Sardis actually at one time had really done some great things. And you know how I feel about Landmark. I think this is a great church. And great things have happened in this church for over 50 years. And I love some of the compliments we receive. When I go other places, it's like, man, I hear great things about Landmark. Probably weekly, I get a call from some other church somewhere else going, could you tell me how y'all do this? Or could you put me in touch with one of your ministers and how they do this? And I love that. But I think it leaves us vulnerable to a temptation of having a great reputation that may not be reality. So that's why we need to read this letter. So here's my question as I studied it. How in the world did this happen? How do you go from this fired up, hard-working church to dead church? Now, notice this. A couple things. This is one of the few churches nothing positive is said at the present time. But also notice, we're not hearing what we've heard the last few weeks. This church is not under pressure from the outside of persecution. And they're not dealing with compromise on the inside. I like what one author said. Why would the devil attack a church when he's got them right where he wants? They're dead. He didn't have to bring persecution on them or compromise. They're just dead. I want to say to us, guys, if we're the church God's called us to be, if I'm the person God calls me to be, it points there's going to be persecution. There's going to be difficult times. So what could be going on here? This is my best guess. They're living off their reputation. That's easy for anybody, any organization to do. I mean, Sardis, even the city had a long history of a great reputation. 600 years earlier, it was one of the greatest cities in the world. It was powerful, rich. It was built on a hill with incredible walls. It was known to be completely defensed. No one could ever defeat it until a few hundred years before this, the king of Cyprus came to attack Sardis, and he couldn't get past the defense, so he just camped out. And he just watched. And one night, one of the guards in Sardis dropped his helmet over the side. And the folks from Cyprus watched him come down this little gorge they didn't know about and retrieve his helmet and go back up. Well, they found out there was an entrance. And so at 3 a.m. that morning, the folks from Cyprus, they snuck up that entrance because Sardis was so overconfident that no one could get in. They did not even post guards. And by daybreak, they're surrounded by the enemy and completely defeated. So when Jesus tells this story, he knows this city can understand it. They had this reputation, but they let it down. And now we got this church with this reputation that's let it down. It's living off its good press. It's living off its past. As I love telling stories about Landmarks. One of my favorite things about Landmark 101. This church has a grand history. I love talking about the original members of this church meeting in a small little YMCA, mortgaging their homes to buy a building that church had no right to own on the Atlanta Highway. I love stories those early days. They would say to each other, don't dare pray about that at Landmark, because if you pray about it, it's going to happen. And they had a slogan, we're the and then some church, which was saying, we don't just do what's expected, we do more. And then in the 1990s, this church sells that, moves out to what was cow pastures here, because they knew this is where Montgomery was growing, and they sacrifice again. And they build a great church. And then they find out we're not reaching people the same old way. We started a church in inner city Montgomery, just doing great things, but it does things differently. We're in East Montgomery. We're still doing 1950 Church of Christ, and it's not working. Why don't we change? And we did. And we started reaching people. And just over the last few years, we've made changes that were to say, okay, it's not about our comfort. It's about the mission of God. I love those stories. I love telling those stories. But here's what this message says to me. We need to make sure we always have new stories, right? We need to make sure there are new dreams. We need to make sure it's not just about what happened 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 50 years ago. It's about what's happening right now, and it is. And that's what really excites me for this fall. On Sunday, September the 20th, we're going to have what we call Vision Sunday, where we're going to share with you many of the things that God has put in our heart. A vision big enough to say, hey, we got to sacrifice for this. We're not okay just having this great church We don't want to rest on the past or our laurels or our reputation. We will do more for God. So I hope you'll be praying about that. So, this is a hoax. How does it happen? We better watch this one. It happens when you rest on your reputation. Now, when you read this, it's pretty bleak, okay? So my next question was, is there any hope? And there are three phrases in the description that give hope. First of all, he says, strengthen what remains. Jesus is not saying there's nothing good in this church. Not much left, but there is a remnant. And then he says, you're about to die. Well, that's almost contradictory to what he first said, is you're dead. So they're not completely gone. And then he even mentions there's a few people whose robes are still white. He didn't say there's nothing to build on. He said, there's something left. I respect so much when I go to maybe a small church that's in a difficult situation, that's struggling. You don't walk in the doors and feel life, and yet you always know there's a few saints wearing those white robes. I respect the preacher that preaches at that kind of church and is faithful to his calling much more than I respect someone like me who gets to preach at a great church. And what the writer's saying here is there's always hope. It may not look good right now. In fact, the reputation is not true, but it could change. It reminds me of a story back in Matthew. You remember when that synagogue leader came to Jesus, interrupts Jesus, says, you got to come to my house. My daughter is dead. Okay. And then Jesus walks in the house and he clears the room out. He tells all those folks who were hovering around her bed, go away. And then Jesus says the most curious thing. The girl is not dead, but asleep. Now, if you're there and you're the parents, you go, Jesus, get real, man. We've tested her pulse. There's no life. But listen, my friends, when things look dead to us, they just look like they're asleep to Jesus. She's not dead, she's just asleep. And so Jesus brings her back to life. And that's what Jesus is saying to this church, guys. It's not depending on us, we can't work ourselves up. But as dead as it looks to us, maybe right now you're going, oh, nobody, you're describing me. I may be sitting here in church today, but I'm dead. Like so many of you say to me, man, you're stepping all over my toes. I don't want to step on your toes, guys. I want to touch your heart. I don't want you to leave here thinking, man, he beat me up today, man, because my life, I used to really be fired up for God, had a great reputation, and oh, no, no, no. What I want is for you to see a Jesus who looks at you and says, he's not dead, he's just asleep. Let's wake him up. That's so exciting. It's never too late. That Eutychus, remember that we talked about earlier, who fell out of the window dead? Guess what happened? Paul finally stopped preaching, and he went down and resurrected him. You know who I talked about bad? Tiger Woods at the beginning? 10 years later, after all the injuries, all the embarrassment, he's once again the number one golf player in the world and wins the Masters. Things can change. And guys, that's what the church can do. We can learn to do what I'm calling this morning, walking wide awake, okay? Now, this church was sleepwalking. What I want to talk about to close out this morning is what I'm calling awake walking. In other words, what do we learn from this passage about how we stay awake? It's like sitting here in church. One of the most miserable things, and it's so easy in this dark service, sorry, is to fall asleep, right? And you ever been there, sitting there, you know, and you just can't keep your eyes open? You need some help, okay? So right now, Jesus and give us some help. I hope you'll write these down. Number one, how do we get fully alive? Hear the wake-up call. Many of us remember back in days when if you went to a hotel, you'd call the front desk and say, I want a wake-up call. Wake me up at 7:30. Well, here's what I want you to know about God. God gives wake-up calls to his people whether you request it or not. All through his Bible, listen to these passages. Isaiah chapter 51, awake, awake, put on strength. Awake as in the old days, you used to be awake, wake up again. Joel, here's some folks struggling with abuse, alcohol abuse. Awake, you drunkards, and weep. Romans 13, the hour has come for you to wake up from your sleep. Ephesians 5, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. It's resurrection power. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, so let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be serious. I guarantee you there's some folks around us right now that may be sleepwalking. You don't have to. Now, do you hear in all of those verses, including today's verse, wake up and strengthen what remains and become alive? Do you hear the urgency? You ever had someone, maybe emergencies happen in your house, maybe a fire broke out or someone broke in or just something bad and they run into your room and they go, wake up! That's what Jesus is doing. I love this quotation. Hell is full of people who planned on repenting tomorrow. My friends, if God's trying to wake you up, listen. I hope you notice on every one of these points, there's movement, there's doing something. When you're asleep and you want to wake up, you got to move. Number two, start moving toward God. You can't do everything. I mean, you go, buddy, you don't know how many problems I got, or you don't know how dead I've become. Oh, no. And it's not going to change overnight, but start somewhere. If you hadn't been reading your Bible, just start reading 5 minutes. If you hadn't been praying, make sure you pray before you go to bed. If you've been skipping church, make a commitment this morning. You're going to be here every Sunday. Just start somewhere. Just start moving toward God. Number three, hold on to the truth. Because I find in my life, in most churches' life, is we fall away and fall asleep when we fall away from Scripture. Stay with the Word. Remember, Jesus said to this church, I love this, remember what you've received and what you've heard. Man, this word remember pops up every church almost. Why? Because at one point, all of us have had this spiritual beginning. At one point, we heard the best news we had ever heard. We couldn't get our mind off it. At one point, we were born again. Remember that. Hold on to that. Number four, actively finish what you started. He says, you guys started some really good things, but your deeds are unfinished. When you were first in love with Jesus and first became a Christian or first became maybe a part of this church, what was God calling you to do? Everybody can't do everything, but you can do something. Maybe you made your mind up you were going to reach your friends for Christ, or you can go into where you work and you were going to change the atmosphere, or you can go into your school and at least there'd be somebody there that looked and acted like Jesus. Or you're going to be a part of this church reaching this city. Go back. Do it again. This term we introduced a few weeks ago has really blessed my life. Finish strong. Because I'm telling you, God, the last few months has shook me up. I appreciate some of you. I think you notice it. Because I want to finish strong. I don't want to quit before I've done the things God's called me to do. Hope you feel the same way. And then one more point, don't get offended by this point, it's not going to sound right to you. Walk with the woke. I know the term woke is not a really popular term right now, but maybe it woke you up. Well, what does that mean? You know what he says here? He says there are a few people, even in this dead church, that are still following me. They're still dressed in white. Oh, what do you need to do? You need to hook your life to them. Listen closely. If you would name for me your five best friends right now, I think I could guess where you are spiritually. We all need people that are awake to Jesus, who keep us awake. You ever come into a church service like this, or maybe a funeral, Grady, you understand what I'm talking about? And you know, you're sleepy, and you say to the person sitting beside you, I'm really tired this morning. If you see me fall asleep, would you what? Poke me. Here's what the church is about. God wants you to have some people in your life that when you fall asleep, poke you. That you give permission to go, hey, man, you know who I want to be. You know who God's called me to be. When I fall short of that, well, then please, just poke me. That's why we're so big on small groups. Because it's not enough just to be in this big, cool assembly. You need some folks who know you, who keep up with you, who love you, who care enough to go, hey, would you poke me? Can I poke you? So let's close with this. Studying this week led me sort of this conclusion. And this will strike you, first of all, sort of odd, but here it is. Are you Saul or are you David? Now, you'll understand as I go through this. Because Saul and David, their lives almost mirror each other. One doesn't turn out very well, and one turns out great. And it's all because one decided to wake up when somebody loved him enough to poke him. Now, let's compare. Saul was a handsome, powerful, God-anointed king. David was a poet, songwriter, military leader, most powerful king in Israel's history. They both started humbly, if you read the story. And then Saul begins to rebel and disobey God. And David, almost in one fatal swoop, just falls completely away and screws up. So far, so good. Well, Saul is confronted by Samuel. One day Samuel's in a place to say, man, Saul, you are really messing up, dude. You got to wake up. David is confronted by Nathan, who finally corners and said, dude, let me tell you a story that really looks bad. You're the man. Okay. So far, exactly the same. Well, what happens? Saul never wakes up. Saul ends up losing God's favor and dying in complete failure. David, whose life was almost mirrored King Saul, repents and becomes the man after God's own heart. Isn't that cool? And so this morning, as Jesus comes to us, guys, do you recognize that every part of this story is in red letters? This is Jesus saying, your reputation's good, but you're really not that good. And you need to wake up. Talking about who's poking us? Jesus poking us. Now he uses this phrase that we just blow past. Anybody who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What's he saying? Everybody's got ears. What's he saying? Are you using them? What's the difference in Saul and David? David listened to God. He used his ears and he responded. Saul kept his ears shut. He didn't listen and he didn't change. And so this morning, if God has touched you or touched our church in a way that you go, you know what? That's a pretty tough description. But, oh my goodness, the same God who said you're dead also says, really in my eyes, you're just asleep. Let me just nudge you a little bit. Let me poke you. wake up right now, repent. And today, if you're ready to give your life to Jesus, or you need publicly the church to pray for you to wake up, oh my goodness, that's why this is written. Not to make you feel guilty when you walk out of here, but to make you feel great. Not that you gotta take every step on one day, but it'll start with one step out this aisle that could lead to a life change. You'll never be more joyful than when you are fully awake to God. If you need that this morning, come while we stand and sing.